Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir, with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going? Another show.
Very good, Jason. How are you?
Oh, you know, not getting enough sun, keeping busy and perpetually fatigued, but nothing new, just because of my weird hours at work.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like you need a massage.
Oh my God, a massage would be so amazing. I actually, at one point, did get a massage from like a real masseuse, and I have to confess it was nice. That's something I should probably do soon, because the Lord knows, you know, my nerves aren't very good. I have my own nervous system problems and muscle diseases and all this, and God, a massage sounds so good.
Good. Anyway.
But, yeah, so another episode, and we were talking a little bit before the show about what we could talk about tonight, and we're inviting anybody out there that wants to call in and share a paranormal story with us this evening. You can call 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999, and share any paranormal experiences you had or any comments or whatever. We're opening the phone lines just to talk to some of our listeners. And while Sherry and I were talking, we thought, well, you know, we don't have a guest this evening, so this might be a good opportunity for myself, Jason Ophir, to let everybody know why I'm such a big UFO buff. There are reasons for that. There are experiences that I've had that are innumerable UFO experiences, some terrifying, some not so much. So, Sherry, if you still want to go with that, I can kind of talk about some of the UFO experiences that I have had over the years.
I would love to hear that.
And being so I will,
personally, go ahead. Personally,
oh, no,
I've never had any UFO experiences, but I would like to hear your stories.
Well, I'm surprised because you live out in the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, I've had a lot of experiences, so I'll just start off, and if we get callers, we can just kind of break from me babbling on and talk to the callers, and hopefully it won't get too scattered. But yeah, if you're ready, I'll just start.
Go for it.
So back when I was 17 or so, I was going to a boarding school in Northern California. And it was kind of a cool situation because it was out in the country, and it was at a the school, during the school part of the year, it was at a summer camp. So if you could imagine going to summer camp, well, going to school at a boarding school at a summer camp. So basically what that looks like is we were living in cabins, which was super cool. And they had like this little lake thing, and you could canoe and swim and all that. So it was pretty much awesome. We would go to these classes that were run half-ass, you know, it was terrible, didn't learn a thing, and just had fun with nature the rest of the time, so it was awesome. Anyhow, while I was out there, there were several instances where I saw these strange lights in the sky, and it was odd because they would they weren't like shooting stars, it's big white orbs of light that would descend slowly from the sky and not very far away. And I had seen those 2 to 3 times. One time I saw one hover parallel to a tree line not very far away. and other times they were up higher in the sky and just kind of descended out of view. And so I'd seen those three times. But then something really strange started to happen. One day, I started to see all these strange symbols in my mind's eye, and I was so fluent with seeing these things, I started to write them down on paper. And one of these symbols, which I have since tattooed on me, on my chest, was really a prominent symbol, which I've yet to really identify. Anyhow, I was so compelled with this one symbol that I went down to the river and I made the symbol with all these big rocks, you know, probably 15, 10 feet long or whatever, on the riverbank. And all these strange things started to happen out there. And I thought it was weird. I didn't really put too much stock into it. But I think things were happening out there. And I kind of equate that to that being the beginning of UFO stuff, even though nothing really weird happened. I don't remember being abducted by aliens out there, but that's kind of where I think it started. And so many things have happened since then. I don't know if it'd be hard to keep it all chronologically accurate, but ultimately what happened was I had eventually graduated from there and I had moved to Oregon. And where I moved to was a trailer with a roommate. And the trailer was situated on a one-lane runway. And there's no towers, there's no electronics, transponders, or anything. It was basically for ultralight aircraft. And the trailer, there was a line of trailers there. It was probably a couple hundred feet from this paved runway. Anyhow, my roommate and I were at a friend's house late one night. And as we were driving home, and this runway is out in the country, we were driving home and we started to get on our road a few blocks away from our house. And I started to get this strange feeling of impending doom, like something was going to happen. Something was going to jump out in front of the car. So I told my roommate about it and she stopped the car and I was kind of just weirding out. Like I was having some like weird premonition-y thing go on. And so we ended up continuing. We pulled in our driveway and we got out of the car. And as I looked up, there was a bright light above our trailer in the clouds. And what it reminded me of was a spotlight shining and hitting the bottom of clouds. This is the middle of nowhere. There's no spotlights. Well, it's not the middle of nowhere, but I mean, it's out in the country. There would have been no source for that. So this thing, light was hovering above the trailer. And just as I was registering it, looking at it, it shot off really fast. So at that point, I still didn't think too much about it. I thought that was weird. And we walked up to the trailer, and the front door was unlocked. And that was weird. So, and the reason it was strange to leave the door unlocked was because we had thousands of dollars worth of parrots. We were parrot people. I don't even know how many parrots we had, but we had a ton of parrots. And so we walked in, and as you walked in, the air felt thick. It felt just the vibe of the house was wrong. And the cat was acting weird, and I know we had cats with parrots, but it worked. So the cat was acting weird, and so we thought that maybe there was an intruder in the trailer. And didn't find anything, looked around, and thought, you know, we were just being weird. So I walked into my room. I took off my shoes and I started to walk out and I stepped on something. And what I stepped on was a huge lump in the carpet. It was really, really bizarre. And it was like rock hard. And it wasn't there when we left. So I called my roommate and we're looking at this thing. We're like, oh, how did this thing show up? You know, this huge lump in the carpet. So she was so perplexed by it that she grabbed a knife and she cut this lump and she stuck her finger in this huge lump and something poked her finger. And what she pulled out was the strangest metallic object that you can imagine. And I can't even describe it because you would just have to see a picture of it. If you saw it, you'd be like, oh yeah, this is weird. I'm not talking about a nail. It just advanced, shiny thing with etchings and weirdness. It was just bizarre. So we were so tripped out. And then that's when I started to think about the light above the trailer and the feeling that I had had. So we went and we buried this thing under the runway that night. A night or two later, in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning, three cars pull out on the runway, and they shine, and they're kind of facing each other, so the headlights are facing each other, and there's several people out there, and they're acting weird. So they eventually leave, and we're wondering what these people are doing out on the runway. So we go out there to where they were, and they had installed some sort of electronic device. It was on stilts, maybe 15 inches off the ground or a foot, and it was a steel box that had no power source to it, but it was humming and vibrating.
So then
we asked the person that owned the property, hey, what is this thing? Because we were thinking maybe they had installed some sort of beacon or something. She didn't know anything about it. And so anyways, we went and we collected this object from under the runway, and 2 or 3 days later, in the middle of the night, these people came back and they collected their box. So that's kind of, and then after that, it got really weird. So I had hooked up with a researcher who took the object. He did some testing locally of it. And what they found is if they dissected the object, that it was like perfectly constructed, like down to 1 micron. You know, if you could like measured it, like, I don't know how all that works, but what it proved was it was some sort of precision device. And while he was investigating it, he started to get followed around. And at one time, he was in a Starbucks with a photographer, and they were discussing how to take close-up photographs of this thing. And somebody walked into the Starbucks with a camera, just totally blatantly started taking pictures of them at the table. And the guy walked by the table and tried to look at all the pictures on the table. And it wasn't too long after that, I was starting to get followed around town by the same person in the same car. It was looked like a cop car, but it didn't have like all the lights on it. It was a Crown Victoria. So I was followed around a couple times. So things ended up getting really weird. And I'm kind of shortening some of the story. There were some other things that went on, but there's just too much to talk about in one show. Anyhow, so the object generated some interest. It was eventually sent to Whitley Strieber, who's very famous for alien abduction, and he wrote some very best-selling horror novels. And Whitley Strieber sent it to a lab in Texas, and the lab couldn't identify what it was. In fact, I have the note back from the lab said this. This is exactly what the note said. It said, weird, ! The green stuff is still bugging me. Now, I don't know what that means. There must have been some green stuff on it. And then they said, we are still checking the aircraft industry and stuff like that. So anyways, the lab was so interested in it that they were going to do some really in-depth testing, which is called isotopic ratios. Whether they could tell whether materials were terrestrial or not. And I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but the lab never ended up testing it because the primary contractors of the lab were the military, and the military said that if they continued to do independent testings like that, that they wouldn't use the lab anymore. And so that is where that story died. It never went any further than that. What do you think about that, Sherry?
That's amazing.
Strange stuff.
Yeah, very strange. Whitley Strieber is a very well-known. I've heard of him many times on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and he is very, very well-versed and very well-educated in this type of arena, and I would love to get him on a show. Would love to. That would be great, wouldn't it, Jason?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So that's just one thing. The other, there are other more terrifying things that have happened. So whether or not that is an alien artifact, I don't know. Why was it in the carpet? I don't know. I assume that it was put there so that it was found. Because that's the only way I could see that. The researchers seemed to think that it was some sort of device that was used to implant things. But to me, it was more of whatever put it there wanted to be found. Now, we did investigate how this lump appeared. There was no explanation. We inspected the floorboards and everything. There was no reason for that to have appeared. Nothing, no heavy objects were around it that could have shifted to create that. It was just, the whole episode was bizarre. There was another time when I had hid it, that object, in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. The cabin was broken in, but nothing was taken.
Oh, my goodness.
Just, yeah, weird stuff like that. So anyways, so why do I think that this could be UFO related? Well, it gets deeper, and it gets more terrifying. One of the incidents that also happened out there is I came home one day, and my roommate and her daughter were freaking out because essentially a UFO pretty much landed right next to the trailer. I thought they were full of crap, making it up. But upon further investigation, they swear up and down they had this story, and I ended up, initially I didn't believe them, but I believe them. They were being truthful. They said what this thing looked like was, it was construction orange, and it had a silver cylinder on top of it. And I don't remember exactly what sort of shape they said it was, but apparently it had floated by the window and then moved over towards the street and shot off because they weren't sure what they were looking at. They said, "Jason's not here." The thing shot off, and then it ended up coming back, and they said, "Jason's not here" again, and it shot off again, and that's what they told me. So then, another thing that happened was, I was with the same roommate, and we were driving back up from California, and it was very late at night. We were in Southern Oregon, and we needed to get gas. And so we pulled to this exit, and the sign at the exit said, "Gas station 3/4 of a mile this way." We pulled off the exit. And what was weird, and none of this registered till later, is the gas station was right off the exit. So the exit said Chevron a mile, whatever it was, 3/4 of a mile down the road this way. The Chevron was right off the exit. So we pulled into this gas station, and we got out, and the guy attending the gas station was acting really, really weird and super nice, and it was just odd. And as I'm looking around, there's a red sports car parked at the gas station, and there's two people in there staring at me, and I thought it was making me really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So we got gas, and we started to pull out, and we thought, oh, we're going to, just check the oil. So we hadn't left the gas station. We just kind of backed up and went back in and did that. And the attitude of this strange old man changed, like he was surprised that we did that. Again, nothing. We didn't think anything was super weird at that point. So then we pulled off and got back on the freeway. And I felt really discombobulated. It was really odd. And so then we started talking about how strange that guy was. And my roommate was saying she thought it was weird because he didn't have a car there. And I said, no, there was a car there. There was a car with two people. So we have two variations of memory about that gas station, but that's not entirely what's weird about it. What's weird about it is we went back later to find the gas station. The gas station doesn't exist. It's not there.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
And what's also weird is what took 7 or 8 minutes took nearly an hour. We had missed an hour of time. Yeah.
Oh.
Creepy.
So do you believe in a parallel universe or time warp or anything like that? Do you think, is that, did you think about that?
No, I tend to think that maybe some sort of abduction had happened because of the missing time.
Okay.
And the variation of memories. I know what I saw. I know there were two people in a car there, and she says there wasn't. There have been people that have claimed that they have their memories modified.
Oh,
and so there could have been an abduction or something like that.
I've heard of a couple of, I've heard a couple of people, you know, saying that they really feel that they've been adapted. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. And that gas station's not there. We checked. She called the exit. There's no gas station there. I've driven by several times looking for that gas station. It doesn't exist. What exists is what we initially saw when we pulled off the freeway, which was the Chevron 3/4 of a mile off the road. There's no gas station right off the freeway.
So have you ever thought about why are they using you to have that experience? Have you ever thought about why you're having that experience, or why are they using you, or, you know, ever thought about that? That's, like, quite interesting.
I don't know, you know. I have scars that I can't explain on my back, really prominent scars. Like very, very dramatic scars, like I've been caned or something. And I thought that, well, maybe I've regressed some memory and was abused as a child, but I showed my parents and they were as perplexed as I. So I, you know, inexplicable scars and stuff like that. But there's a lot of other things that had happened. One of the other things that happened much later, many years later, was I had decided to finally get some hypnotic regression to kind of figure out what's going on. I'm not a super big believer in that hypnosis, but I went to do that, and I had left my girlfriend at my house. When I came back, actually, it wasn't my house, it was my father's house. But when I came back, she was absolutely terrified because she was sitting in the living room, and there was basically a gray staring back at her from outside. And, you know, gray alien. So that was another thing that kind of supported that maybe there's some sort of alien thing going on. But then things also get kind of scarier. If I had to look back at some times where I thought that maybe there was some abduction going on, there are two times that I can remember where I think something happened. One time was I had actually visited that school that I was talking about in the beginning of the show. And while I was out there, I was out there, and then I had become friends with one of the teachers in town. So I was staying at her house in town. And I was sleeping in the living room on the couch, and it was late at night. And there had been some other strange things that I had seen in the skies out there. But I was laying on the couch, and I looked over. I was in the living room, and if I looked to my right, I could see into the kitchen, and then I could see the window that goes outside. And as I'm looking to the right, I see basically, I don't know, an alien, a gray, whatever, go by the window. And just before I'm even able to register what I'm seeing, I turn my head back up, and the next thing I see is this alien face, like right in front of my own face. And the next thing that registers is a needle going in that little tear gland. And that's all I remember on that one.
Wow. That's amazing.
So then I got up the next day. I went outside to the backyard, and there was a trail in the tall grass. But that's not what's weird about that. The grass had turned pink on the trail and nowhere else. So I followed the pink grass to a wire fence, and it was bent down. So what turns grass a pinkish color?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's weird. It was a long trail, and all the grass was normally the green, goldish color. And it wasn't there before, and that trail had turned a pinkish color. So, yeah.
I don't know what to say, to be honest with you. Wow, that's crazy.
So, another thing that happened much later was, and this is probably the scare. I mean, this the thing with the alien face in front of mine was scary, but probably the scariest thing that had happened was I was in a hotel, and this is much later. This is probably 7, 6 years ago. I was in a hotel in the Seattle area, and I was sitting there in bed watching 7 Years in Tibet, and the lights were off, and I started to get this feeling, and it's hard to describe. It's like a tumbling feeling. But what's weird about it is as soon as I felt that feeling, I knew what was going to happen. It's like it triggered a memory. Does that make sense? So I was instantly terrified. It's like I didn't have a memory of this feeling until I felt it, and then I knew, like, it was like, I'm going to be abducted. I'm going to be abducted. Like, it had happened many times before, but you don't remember it until you feel it. And so I'm freaking out. I reach over to turn the lamp on. It doesn't turn on. And I start to lose control of my motor skills, my, ability to move. And it's progressively getting worse. And I'm trying to fight it. I'm trying to fight it. I scurry off the bed to the lamp on the other side of the room. I'm trying to turn it on. It doesn't turn on. The TV goes off. So it's dark. And all I see is this strip of light under the door that goes out into the hallway. Why or how there's power in the hallway but not my room, I don't know. So in a last-ditch attempt to get the hell out of that situation, I lunge into the towards the door, and there's like this short hallway which has got the bathroom to the right. So I lunge myself into this on this little space to get to the door, and as I'm doing that, I've lost all motor ability, and I fall right a few feet in front of the door. And as I'm falling, the last thing I see halfway down in the fall is the typical alien head, big dark eyes, and that's all I remember. So yeah. Do they exist? I think
Yes.
so. And I'm familiar with, there's a lot of things that can be explained. There's hypnagogia, there's all the sort of things. Never trust what you see, hear, smell right before you go to sleep, or right after you wake up, because you can hallucinate. It's not even that uncommon. But when you add the totality of the experiences, normally I would have thought, well, okay, this was just a hallucination, I was tired, blah 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 blah. But when you add up everything that's happened over the years, it kind of makes you think that, maybe something's going on,
Well,
Maybe it's not a hallucination.
it's not a hallucination. It's accepting for what is, and you come into this world having these experiences. I would probably think about what are you learning from this, to believe something that is out of, our physical senses, or, is it something that, are you a messenger? I don't know. I do believe. I've never experienced this, like I said on radio before, but I've ne I do believe that they do exist. There's just too many people having experiences or talk about this. Just because we can't see it or hear it or feel it, it's not there. We live in a very multidimensional reality, so it's crazy. Love it. I love you
Yeah.
too. Please.
There's just too much to talk there. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, but those are kind of the big things that have happened. I've had a lot of dreams that made me wonder too, but I don't really trust in dreams.
You don't? You don't trust in dreams?
Well, I don't know. I'm more analytical, but I've had some alien dreams that have really made me kind of wonder if that was some sort of memory coming back. But I usually don't talk about those because I can't really quantify that it's an event that actually happened. But there could be something behind them. There was one, I've had alien, when dreams are dreams, they're random, they're abstract. But then I've had a couple dreams that were made me really question whether it's an event, like I said. And one of those dreams, probably the most powerful out of all of them I had, and I don't have a lot of alien dreams. In fact, it's pretty rare for me to have an alien dream. But this one dream is I was kneeling down, and standing in front of me, it was dark, were three aliens, but they looked different than the grays. Their skin was dark and leathery. They had the big almond-shaped eyes, and they had these ridges on their faces that were kind of Klingon-y, sort of. That's the only way I could describe it. So I was kneeling before these three beings, and there was a young one of them, like a kid version of this alien, standing in front of them. And as I'm kneeling there in front of them, this kid being lunges towards me, which startles me, it scares me, and then the kid alien jumps into my arms, like in an affectionate manner. So I've always wondered, that's kind of an odd dream to have. I don't know.
I don't either. And if any of the callers would like to chime in or have an experience or be able to answer some of Jason's questions, you're welcome to call in. So I don't know what to say, but I believe you, most definitely. I don't know enough about it to help you out, but, yeah, that's interesting. Very crazy. Wow.
Yeah. So that's
out of my realm of comprehension.
That's just a few of the things. I just kind of gave some highlights of the experiences. And we do have a caller, which we'll take here in 1 second. I want to remind anybody that's listening, if they want to chime in to any of my experiences or have any experiences of their own in the paranormal, you can call 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. And with that, like I said, those are the big experiences, and we can go to our caller here, and we'll take our caller right now.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hey. Welcome
hey,
to
hey.
Paranormal Horizons. Thank you. I had a question for you, Jason.
Sure.
So as you were talking about your experiences, and you were mentioned that you lived in a relatively remote area when this started. And in your experience, or do you know, does this kind of stuff happen? Well, I guess it would have in the city. Like, but then you told the experience about being in a hotel in Seattle. Were you like downtown or a remote off the freeway thing, or what? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was the hotel in Seattle. It wasn't downtown, but it was, I don't remember if it was like, it was north of Tacoma. It was one of those kind of outskirts, Issaquah kind of places, and it was a big hotel. It wasn't like a Motel 6. It
right.
was one of the major brands. I don't remember which one it was. It was, which one was it? I can't remember off the top of my head. It was quite a long time ago, but yeah, seems to be a myth that you have to be in the middle of nowhere for these types of events to happen. And I believe that it really doesn't matter where you are, literally. Like, you could be in the White House and you're just as vulnerable as anywhere else.
Right. So they obviously have a technology where it doesn't matter where you are. My second question was, the people that were following you and your friend, were those like MIBs or something, or did you get a look at them? Were they also weird looking, or do you remember?
No, I don't think myself nor the person that was handling the case, we never even mentioned any men in black. It was pretty obvious that they were just some sort of government kind of agent kind of thing. And the closest I ever got to, when I saw the guy in the car that followed me, he was an overweight, just average-looking person. Another time, I didn't mention is I went to McDonald's before work one time, and I was sitting there in my car, and there were cars to my left and cars to my right, and some guy was sneaking up on me, and because I could see the top of them, he's kind of ducked down and he's kind of winding up to me. And when he got a couple cars away from me, popped up with a camera and started taking pictures of me in my car.
Oh my gosh.
So I got his license plate and I had at the time the ability to run license plates, and I ran his license plate and it came up to just an innocuous address in a neighboring suburb, but I never pursued it any farther than that.
Wow. So
do
they must know
about
it.
Yeah. Do you have any input about that?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had one thing I was going to say about that weird, the gas station experience, what seemed to me more like an alternate reality type experience. More than, I mean, I'm not going to discount your abduction theory at all. I'm just saying, to me, it sounded like you kind of just drove through a veil or something. But I don't understand the purpose of why that happened to you, unless, you know, the purpose was to be abducted, which is possible.
Yeah, I have no idea if it could have been. I have no idea if it was.
Yeah. That freaked me out when you said that, when you went back to check it out and it wasn't there. I was like, oh my God, no way. You know, that's weird.
but we got the gas, which I don't understand. It wasn't like.
Right. And that's amazing. That's just mind-boggling, you know. Like, that's a huge elaboration on their part to, like, fill your tank, you know. It had to have happened. It's just, how did it happen, you know?
Yeah, it might not have been aliens. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty trippy. It's almost like you know, a parallel universe or something. But yeah, wow.
What were you going to say, Sherry?
Is it a time warp possibly too? A parallel universe is the first thing that came to my mind too. But could it be a time warp also?
Possible.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I believe anything's possible.
That's where you
for
start
sure.
getting into all this quantum mechanics, and it's way above
right?
my head. But I should also note that that might not be that far out of the realm of possibility, because I heard a story at one time of something like that happening somewhere in that area. So I don't remember the details of it, but there was somebody told me something about that.
I remember my daughter and I were driving home from San Francisco, excuse me, and we just crossed the border into Oregon from California. And no sooner had we crossed the border and we were like, yay, you know, we're almost home. Everything in the whole vehicle just completely went dead. All the power, our phones, our cell phones shut off, the clock shut off, the radio shut off, and the engine cut out. And then, boom, it powered right back up like nothing ever happened, and all our phones rebooted and everything came back on. And we were like, what the hell was that? You know, it was bizarre, totally bizarre. You know, the cruise cut off, everything. And then, boom, it just started right back up about 20 seconds later. I didn't lose much velocity or anything in the vehicle, but it was really freaky. So I know there's weird energy fluxes down there. Maybe it has something to do with the vortex or something. I don't know.
That sounds
weird.
Either you were abducted or there was an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, but I think that would have fried your car.
Yeah, and it would have took about 30 minutes to reboot it after an EMP. You know, this was instantaneous, but very strange. And every electronic device we had in the vehicle, including the vehicle, shut out, completely dead, and then boom. Turn back on, but I had to reset the cruise control.
And you didn't have any missing time or anything?
No, not that I noticed, no. It was really just instantaneous. So, and we made it home on time, so yeah, there was nothing like that happening, thank God. I hope that's never happened to me. I mean, I had something weird happen in Canada, but I had told that story on an open mic before, so... I don't think that ever happened, you know, on that view, not on that trip.
Well, I remember that thing in Canada, and boy, that sure sounds like abduction to me.
Yeah, I
or
know.
Or visitation or something.
Yes, I think so, absolutely. And unfortunately, yeah.
So we do have another caller. We want to try just having everybody on as a party line, Sherry?
Sure. Why not?
All right.
Hey, I'd like to have as much viewer and listener participation as possible. That's what it's all about.
Merrier.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get this party line started. Hello, caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Are you there? Oh, maybe it's coming across my studio as all ones. Maybe it's aliens. Are you there, caller? Hello? All right, well, we'll try in a few minutes. I'll put them back on hold. Yeah,
maybe.
The number's all ones. What's that mean?
That's weird.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I've seen it before. It's nothing paranormal, but I've seen it before. I don't know if that means if it's a Skype caller or not, but yeah, it always trips me out when I see that.
Well, I can get off the line if you want.
Oh, no.
So. But anyway, the UFO stuff, I mean, that really freaks me out. And your stories were just, you know, fascinating. Like, oh, my goodness. And
I've been fortunate in that nothing's happened in a long time that I'm aware of, so.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to have, I mean, some people apparently go through this their entire lives, you know. So.
I see it as a curse. I don't find it as a good thing at all. After the hotel thing happened, I had like PTSD from it because anytime I was in a hotel that had a similar layout, you know, I went and I had them change rooms because I couldn't deal with it because it was freaking me out.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. Why do you think they pick you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I'm adopted, so I don't really have any sort of biological knowledge of who my parents were. Interesting to note that I was born on an Air Force base. So
you're a hybrid.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'm an experiment.
Maybe.
Are you serious? He might be a hybrid?
Well, yeah. Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't either.
I was born on a Marine Corps base, you know, so, I mean, I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, people talk about that kind of stuff happening.
Well, it was also I was born on in Cannon Air Force Base in New Mexico. So it's New Mexico. So maybe I don't know what goes on in Cannon. I've tried to Google it and I didn't really find anything interesting what they do out there. But
they probably wouldn't have it online anyway.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I am a hybrid.
Maybe. I was curious. That, you know, perhaps it's some kind of genetic markers that they are looking for with people, but, you know, you wouldn't be able to trace that if you don't know your biological parents, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know nothing about my parents. The only thing is that they were apparently unusually attractive, which obviously didn't carry over. I would be interested to know.
If we have time, I'll tell a ghost experience.
Yeah,
unless
sure. Let's
we're
do
on,
that.
Or is this an alien topic only?
No, it's an anything topic. But let's try that caller disconnected and reconnected. So let's see if they're on. So we'll try that. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome
to the show.
To Paranormal Horizons.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. I was just, I was saying hello before, but for some reason just didn't match up here. So, well, I had an opportunity to listen to a little bit of what you guys are talking about in regards to aliens, I would say. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have maybe a small alien story. But I have another, how would you say, another experience a couple of years ago in 2013. Actually, it's been a year now that I had this other experience. It was actually on a dare, if I would do this particular stunt. And so I obliged and then took some time to plan the event to go and sleep in a place called the American Hotel, which is located in Fort McLeod, Alberta, for one night, just to see what the experience might be. Now, this building here is owned, or it's been, it's protected under the Heritage Canada. I'm calling from Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. And it's protected under the historical sites, Canadian historical sites in Alberta. So they can't ever tear it down. It's you know, now. But it used to be a watering hole, and a lot of the First Nations or Native Americans from the local reserves. In Canada, we say reserves. In the United States, they say reservations. Would go there to this bar, and this bar was a hotel, and there had been a lot of, you know, how would you say, the ghost stories, as they would say around here, before the whole paranormal activity type shows came on. And I just think those paranormal TV shows are a bunch of BS, you know, they kind of stage it. But anyway, you know, but my experience was really something else in regards to myth busting or fear busting, if you will. And like I said, this happened in 2013, and yeah, it was quite the experience. But prior to that, in the early 80s, now, I know, you know, some people are be like, well, you know, give this guy a blue pill, give him a pink pill, and all these stories will go away, right? But I can only share with what I've experienced. And my name is Kituki. I'm from Piikani Nation, which is part of the Blackfeet tribe. And I don't do drugs. I don't do alcohol. Never have, never will. And I live myself in the very close to the cultural aspect of our people. Now, there is a lot of, well, I say a lot, but there is a ton of superstition around the spirituality of First Nations people throughout Native North America. And but I took it upon myself to go and myth bust some of this, because some of it was just a little bit too far out there to believe. And I'm a very skeptical person. And, you know, so I did. I went out there and I went into the American Hotel, and I spent one night in the American Hotel, set up cameras. We did a low-level lighting shoot one day, and was maybe a week prior to the spending the night at the American Hotel. It just felt really eerie. You know, it had the cliche hair standing up on the back of your neck. You know, was that something I saw at my peripheral? What is that banging noise going on over here? You know, while we're in the building setting up, you know, the camera so that maybe we can capture something. We were very confident, myself and my friend, his name is Chuck, that we were going to capture something, right? And so, anyway, that was that. I left for home. And as I was driving home, I kept thinking about the exciting part of it, and I kept thinking about how scared I might get, or what if this, or what if that, you know. Can you imagine, you know, this story coming alive by somebody saying that they actually saw the devil there? You know, they've seen different people who weren't, how would you say, they were there, but they actually seen them drinking at the bar at American Hotel, but they weren't even in the same province or the same area during that time. Mm. They were at home with their family.
Oh, my goodness.
So those kind of stories, right, that these people were telling periodically over the years, as long as I could remember, and hearing these stories over and over and over again about how haunted that this American Hotel was in Fort McLeod, Alberta. Now, I used to work at a place called Head Smashed and Buffalo Jump, and this is in southern Alberta, Canada. It's one of the best preserved buffalo jumps in North America. There's thousands of buffalo jumps throughout North America. But also this buffalo jump is said to have had spirits inside the interpretive center. This is like a $10 million building built into the cliff site, and you see maybe 20% of it is exposed. However, I went and so I was driving home after the test of the cameras, and I heard the Aerosmith song coming on the radio. I don't know if you're familiar with Aerosmith. The song was Ragdoll.
Oh yeah.
And
yes.
It just started. There I was cruising, and the sun just set, and I was driving west, you know, thinking about these different scary stories and what's going to really happen. Am I going to lose my mind if I see the devil? You know, am I going to go off my rocker here? And I'm like, what the hell am I doing this for? You know, I don't like the dark too much, right? Anyway, so I was driving home, and there's a place called CY on a reserve on Picani Nation. And CY is an acronym for cattle yard. It belongs to the reserve. Well, as I was passing that area, the lights kind of seemed to go dim. Like I was, you know, for some reason, it just like almost a filter went over my eyes, but not really. But everything kind of seemed to dim light for some reason. And to my peripheral right, I saw a person sitting in my car seat. And when I looked over there, you know, it felt like there was a light that went to the back seat. And I was checking my glasses. They were prescription glasses. To see if it was a light shining in my glasses that moved to the back, right? So it was my mind wanting to make sense of what I was seeing, right? Because I'm a real non-believer, so to speak. Then I went back, and then I saw a person, like, you know, not a physical, like there's a person there, but it was like the peripheral, there was a shadow of a person sitting there. And all this guy said, or this man, the reason why I say man is because that's the voice that it kind of sounded like, right, was, you're going to take them from me. And I had no idea, like, what the hell, right? And this seemed to have passed for like 5 minutes, right? And lo and behold, the lights came back, that thing or whatever that energy was or whatever it was there, was gone. And then the song, Ragdoll, was still only at the beginning. You know how it comes in with the drums, you know, that beat of the drums and do-do-do-do, you know, like that? It was still at the beginning of the beat, but it felt like about 5 or so minutes elapsed already. And
Damn.
That was weird, you know, and of course I thought, well, you know, whatever, that I can't make any sense of this stuff here. You know, I was going to ask, you know, some people who might have an idea about what this experience may have been, but I never did. So I went to the hotel, climbed up the escape thing, the metal for the hotel, very top, got to the top, got inside the door, inside the window, and stood there and, you know, had the camera set up, ready to go. And no kidding. For two long hours, as I sat there, all I could think about was these stories that people have said and told and talked about the American Hotel, seeing the devil there, you know, seeing relatives there who weren't even supposed to be there. They're supposed to be at home, seeing dead relatives coming in there drinking, seeing a man coming in there dressed in black, buying everybody around the drinks, going to the bathroom and disappearing.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
You know, and then on and on and on. Even my relative, she's my first cousin, who went inside the building, and she went to go and ask our uncle for some money because she was outside in the truck. She was the designated driver, but she had no money, and so she was just waiting. So she went to go ask uncle for some money to buy some snacks and whatever, and he pulled out a wad of cash. Right, and then she said, "No, $5 is enough." And you know, where did you get all your money? And he says, "I got it from mom." And her name is Chippy. She said, "Don't talk like that. You know, your mom passed away." He said, "No, I got it from mom. She gave me this money." He said, "Here, take more." And he said, "No, $5 is fine." She bought her stuff, went outside, sat in the truck. That was that. You know. So the next day, she goes to find him. She said, "Well, maybe I'll get more money from him." Right. So she sees him. She finds him, and he's hungover. He's been drinking. And he said, "No, I've never been to the American Hotel this weekend." He said, "I don't have any money." He opened up his wallet. He didn't have any money, and she panicked. She said she didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to talk. you know, she got the anxiety, the cotton mouth feeling, and she was shaking, pulling out the change from her pocket and said, "Look, this is the change from the $5 you gave me. Where's your money?" And he said, he was talking black, but he said, "I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't at the American Hotel." So those stories were floating through my head for about 2 hours. Now, the really interesting thing here is that the more that I started to listen to the stories in my head, the more they started to sound Hollywood. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were expanding. They were kind of romanticizing, building up a certain folklore to the stories, and maybe even adding a little bit more to the stories than what has actually happened. And I was already in full scaring myself by being there and thinking, I need to get out of this place, because I was feeling this energy, I was feeling this creepiness all over the place. And I'm like, holy shit, what the hell am I doing here? Excuse the language.
Yeah, no
and,
problem.
yeah. And so, now,
do you think that
certain...
guy... Oh, go ahead. Do you think
go
that
ahead.
Guy that was there or the person that was asking about the money, was that possession? I mean, that's the first thing I'm thinking about. What do you think?
I have no idea. See, I'm even... I don't know. I would not have one clue on how to decipher that, because there I am listening to this story thinking, oh, you're full of shit, right? You know, but
right.
In a sense, you know, she had the evidence of this chain. And then when she was telling that story, she was very, very upset. You know, she was very disturbed by this story. And this man, his name is Ronald. He was an alcoholic, full-blown alcoholic, lived on the streets and drank a lot. And people had told stories about this man talking funny sometimes and not being right. You know, the acronym is DTs. You know, when they drink so long, you know, they go through this hallucination stuff. And so, you know, I believed her on one hand, but the other hand, it was a little bit too much to really comprehend. But I can, you know, but what I've experienced by from her telling the story and hearing all these other stories about the devil being sighted, these bad spirits, what you have, you know, these possessive spirits or whatever they are in the bar, right? So when I was going to spend the night there, and I was posting on Facebook, like, and I was posting everything on Facebook, and people were inboxing saying, don't go there, you know, it's a bad place, things are going to happen to you, you know, you're going to lose your mind, or these bad things are going to be following you all over your place, your family's going to get hurt, you know, and there continues like that, you know, it was a continuous inbox, and people are praying for you, brother, you know, we're going to pray for you that you come out of there alive and that you're okay. Well, 2 hours I was listening to the stories, and what came to me was really interesting. So what I did is I calmed my mind, and through meditation that I've learned just to calm, you know, my person down, was that I imagined this white light coming from the skies. I won't say heavens, but coming from the skies down. It was like a drop of water, but it was a white light. And I imagined it landing above my head about an inch. And when it stopped above my head about an inch, I imagined this white light spreading from my body from head to toe, and it became a protection barrier. And when I could imagine that, I started to calm down and calm down more, and those stories started to subside in my head.
You know what this reminds me of? Have you ever seen the movie 1408 with John Cusack?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen that story yet.
You watch that movie. That might weird you out, because when you're talking about this hotel, for some reason that movie is popping into my head. But
yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they probably have it on Facebook, right? I mean, on YouTube.
I don't know if they have the whole movie. I don't even think it's on Netflix. But when you talk about that, the hotel, that movie, I don't know. Is that resonating with anybody else that's seen that movie?
Well, I'm thinking yes, in the sense that it's like an interdimensional area. In other words, where all the dimensions meet in one point, to where you can speak to people from the past and the future. So,
well,
and I kind of got
really,
that vibe.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because And when I say skeptical, it's not in all, you know, all of the spirituality or all of whatever paranormal activity that goes on in the world. I know and I believe that we are surrounded by spirits, you know, 100%. And we are not in the same vibrational mode as these spirits. If we
right.
can elevate our vibrational mode, then we can start seeing these spirits. Because I grew up with the culture and spirituality. When I go out fasting and when I go to sun dances, I have and see things that are not supposed to be there in broad daylight. You know,
because you change your vibration.
The vibration.
Right.
And there is a science behind that. But since we believe in, a lot of people believe in superstitions, they start to feel and they actually bring to these Hollywood stories, they bring them to reality. They start to experience all these Hollywood story type. And the reason why I say Hollywood stories is because, you know, there's lots of folklore, there's lots of crescendo, there's lots of almost the same thing as Hollywood would tell, like The Exorcist or like, you know, whatever, like Paranormal Activity or the Amityville Horror. You know, that was their experiences. So when people start telling stories, they're like, oh my, this sounds like, right?
Right.
And so then therefore, like the gentleman had said something about 1409 or whatever, you know, I've never seen that movie, but all I know is what I experienced. But I do know that my vibrational mode sitting there was going to attract this negative energy to me. But once I started to calm that vibrational mode, nothing happened. I heard old building noises. I heard maybe mice scurrying about. And it just became very peaceful. So then
wow.
at that point, I started to understand that fear is an illusionary factor. It really doesn't exist. If
right.
we believe in fear, then we are accepting some form of insanity. Because it's an illusion. Fear is something that has happened in the past and that could happen in the future. So when you bring yourself to this moment, like I have through meditation, it's like I was totally protected and nothing can harm me. And it's from that moment and that time that I experienced that, and I brought that to the people, and I said, I didn't experience anything. And do you know what the words, the majority of the words that came from the natives were, well, you're probably just like them. That's why they didn't bother you. So that was their interpretation to as me being as likeness as to the devil or these bad spirits. Now, I'm a hypnotist. I work with hypnotherapy. I work with stage hypnotist shows. I work with magic. I do magic effects and stuff. You know, I was on Mind Freak like 4 years ago with Chris Angel. You know, I've brought my show all over the place. I met Peter Bull, who was the one who sent me a message to call you guys. You know, and I hypnotized them like in 1 second before, you know, the show began. And,
really?
Yeah, I was trained by the best, by Ravine. You guys ever hear of Ravine?
Mm-mm.
No, the man they call Ravine, he retired in Las Vegas, and he used to be the manager for Lance Burton. And he was like the premier hypnotist. And at the time, you know, when I saw him very young, I thought he was either very gifted or the devil. You know, and it got intrigued me into that type of, and I was like, there's got to be an explanation to everything that goes on. So now, what I've experienced from the American Hotel was that, yes, there is a science behind what actually occurs, and it's simple as the vibrational mode that we all carry. See, the world, the land, the earth, runs on a 432 vibration. Hertz?
Yep.
And our bodies run on that natural hertz. And somewhere along the line, somebody said, well, let's have the universal tuning for orchestra for A440, and let's everybody tune your guitar. What that did was actually take our vibrational body out of that, our ear out of that. So that is one factor into helping us to take us away from accepting that we are spiritual beings. Having this human experience, so to speak.
Well,
so
sounds...
therefore, yes, I do believe that there's those energies out there, and I do believe that people do experience that. And what this elder, I don't like to use medicine man, but I say the elder type person had said was, he had mentioned that when people are scared or all of a sudden stunned, their vibration goes up, it gets higher, and then they're able to see, you know, orbs or whatever. I posted a couple of videos on my Facebook where people saw orbs doing some magic effects or whatever, just messing around. And there's some kid who came to my show, and he was recording the induction process, and this orb floated from my chest and went right towards his camera. You know,
oh my goodness. Wow.
You know, stuff like that, right?
Wow.
And you know, but I do see those orbs like all the time, and I don't doubt it. I just know that if I'm in a calm, peaceful place and I am able to relax my mind and bring my vibration up, I start to see those things. Because I know that spirituality is a very personal thing. And like I said, we're surrounded by these spirits, these things, these entities, these energies. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know how to handle them because we're so lost in what society feeds us through media or through advertisements or through money or whatever. So, but in this case here, it was the stories of the American Hotel. You know, they were just getting really sick and big. So since I did that at the American Hotel, I don't hear any stories about how scary this place is. So and so to speak, you know, I myth-busted it, but it wasn't a whole lot of myth-busting. It was just my own personal experience where I was able to calm myself down and just go through the process. So I think I fell asleep for maybe 40 minutes. I woke up, the sun was out. I'm like, hey, you know, I can go home now. The sun's here. There's nothing to be scared of, right? You know, climb down the fire escape, get into the vehicle, and it's gone.
It's a fascinating story. Yeah, and
you
know, it sounds like you have a lot to talk about. Maybe we should have you on as a guest, but we are actually out of time.
Yeah, for
actually,
sure.
We're over time. But if you're interested in, I'm really interested about this story where you saw the shadow person in your car. That sounds like some sort of trans-dimensional thing, and I want to dig into that more. But we got to end the show. So if you're interested and you want to talk more about that, send us a contact on the Facebook page on Paranormal Horizons.
Right.
Because when we have more time.
Yeah,
just if you know, I can get a message to me to say when a good time to call, I'll definitely call and share a couple other experiences. Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That would be great. But we are over time, so I want to thank you guys for calling in and sharing your experiences on Paranormal Horizons. That's awesome. It's always great to have people call in and kind of participate in the show. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. Well, thanks, guys, and hopefully we'll have you both call in soon. All right, Sherry, we're a little bit over, so we got to wrap this up.
Time to go. Yes.
Time to go. I'm in kind of chomping at the bit because I'm going to go run out and get pizza before 10 o'clock. I'm terrible.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you going to go get pizza?
Well, apparently
Domino's?
There's this Hot Lips pizza, and I don't know anything about it. Apparently they got pizza by the slice, and I'm starving, so I figured I was going to venture out before 10 o'clock and grab me some pizza slices, you know.
Well, think of me when you do that, okay?
Well, no vegetables for me. It'll be sausage and pepperoni. That's how I roll.
Me too. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're the type O probably. the meat eaters.
Total meat eater. But, so what do we got? I know you lined up a guest for next week. What do we got next week?
Well, we have Laura Withers, I believe she is. She takes pictures of elementals. And this is a new arena that I'm open to. She has pictures of fairies and gnomes and all kinds of little elementals that are nature spirits. So I would like to know more about it. And for those viewers that are interested, there's so much to talk about, but she would love to educate us and how, if we're open to it, to how we can go and see our own little elementals in our own yard or you know, wherever you have. And like where I live in a forest, so there's a lot of tree spirits and things like that, and it's like, wow, this is so cool. So I asked her, she'd be happy to come in as a guest and talk about it and inform and educate us as viewers and listeners, and we'll see what happens.
Has she been on the show before? I remember with the other co-host on Paranormal Horizons, Pat Rice, we talked to somebody that did that. But I don't know if it's the same person or not.
So I can ask, but I'm not quite sure. So, but yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be awesome and cool. Well, we look forward to that. I want to thank everybody for calling in. That's always awesome. And we'll see everybody next Sunday, the usual time. And I hope everybody has a great week. Do you have anything else, Sherry?
Nope, thank you. Thank you guys for your participation and listening and supporting us. We really appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Absolutely. All righty, good night, everybody. I got to go get pizza.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye-bye.